Today is the Paschal Vigil of the Resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now you remember a year ago this night, there was nobody here except the priests and a few seminarians and the sisters. So it is very consoling to see maybe the biggest crowd we've ever had for an Easter vigil and midnight mass. This is the most solemn, the holiest night and day and feast in the entire liturgical year. From the very moment that we are born into this world, we are on a journey. For some it's short, for some it's very long, but it's all ending in our deaths. It's frightening to think about that. The moment we die and must face our Creator, our Father in heaven, to be judged. But this night and this whole Lenten season and being a Catholic makes it all worth it, because we can offer our lives and our deaths, each one of us, to be united with our Lord's life in this world and his death. So liturgically, but this is, and also this is to reenact and commemorate, our Lord, his body's in the tomb. And his soul, as it says in the Apostles' Creed, he descended into hell. He descended into limbo to visit the just who were being held captive, not lost in the hell of the damned, but in limbo, meaning not in heaven, not being able to be with God. And so at the stroke of midnight, he rose from the dead. And that's why we try to have the Mass begin as close as possible to midnight, to be one with our Lord, dying to the world, dying to ourselves, and then regaining life. Now, there are three major parts, as we've mentioned before, to this ceremony. It's probably of the liturgical year, the most elaborate, the most complicated. The altar boys with Father Brown spent 5 hours practicing, rehearsing, preparing for this ceremony. So right after this talk, we go to the back of the chapel. We go outside the church, outside God's house. And the chapel, the church, is plunged into darkness, symbolizing death and our Lord being still buried. We are united with him because from the flint, from the spark of life, the life of God, of grace, we start a fire. That's the way Christianity began. When our Lord came on earth, it was in a moment in time, secretly, when he was conceived in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and then when he was born on Christmas night. But when he lived and died and was buried, it looked like everything was for naught, total defeat. Apostles were all afraid. Everybody virtually ran away, frightened for their own lives. But at the stroke of midnight, our Lord burst forth from the tomb, passed through the stone, and that light is Jesus Christ. He's the light of the world. So that's why we have the Easter fire. And then we bless the candle, the greatest, if not the greatest, one of the greatest sacramentals of the church. You all received maybe a share of it when you received your purification candle a few months ago. But just to remind you, St. Anselm says that that beeswax of the candle symbolizes his virginal flesh. And the wick inside the candle symbolizes his soul, his human soul. And then when the candle is lit, it has a flame, and that symbolizes his divinity. That is what St. Anselm says, and that's what the church adopted. And that's why the millions of masses since then always have candles lit. So there's the solemn procession of Christ, symbolized by the Paschal candle, coming into the church. And the candle is treated with reverence. It's blessed after the nails are placed in it. And it's inscribed with the year, this year, 2021. And he comes into the church, and there's the most beautiful hymn in the church, the Exultet, which is chanted from here. And then, after that is concluded, we have lessons. So Holy Mother, the Church wants to teach us. So that's why you follow closely your missal, to hear once again what the Holy Ghost wants us to know right now, tonight, about creation and the travails and history of the chosen people of God. And then after that, we have the making of the baptismal water. Now this year, by the providence of God, we have holy oils that were just made a few days ago, so we can make the baptismal water. That water that God created, it's a share of the huge amount of water in the whole world, and some believe under the world, created by God first for baptism. Did you know that? Not to give life to the world, but to give life to mankind through this ritual that Jesus Christ created in a very simple ceremony of baptism, pouring water over the forehead on the skin and saying the words, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And it's a special night, special Easter, because we have two catechumens who have been instructed. We told you about that a few weeks ago. They spent maybe 5 months studying the entire catechism, learning the doctrines, learning their faith. Coming from many miles away to do this. And then they were here at 8 o'clock this morning to do the first part of the baptismal ceremony. That's how it's done on Holy Saturday. So they were here with some of their family and friends up to the part where the priest questions them one more time, asking if they want to be baptized. So that's going to be done right here. Now, you know what that means? That means that we are to, if possible, recall or make a will decision, an effort to be in a certain way baptized again. And that's why we say right after that our baptismal promises. Now remember the words that they said this morning and that they will say tonight, and that you will say out loud in this chapel before the Holy Ghost. You are saying, I'm promising to renounce the devil and the world and the things of the world and the evil desires and anything that's opposed to God. And it's not an empty promise. You have to mean it, or else the grace of God's not going to take effect, or it'll be almost wasted. So we implore you to take the words of Holy Mother the Church tonight seriously, so that when you leave the chapel tonight in about 4 or 5 hours, you are changed men and women, boys and girls. And you know why? Because you actually are changed by the infusion of sanctifying grace. If you are receiving Holy Communion, but also for those who are going to be baptized, you're changed. And remember, you know your catechism, what happens when you're baptized or when you make your baptismal promises, what you recall. You are saying no to sin, so you original sin is taken away. And sanctifying grace, God's life, is infused into you. That's what you must reenact for yourselves. And remember, these two people are going to be children of God. And not just creatures anymore, they're actual children of God. And the sacrament of baptism is so powerful that, as you know, anyone who sincerely receives a sacrament does not receive the sacrament of penance first. Because baptism, when it's never been received, takes away everything, any evil. They are saints before us right after they're baptized, and then they're going to make their first Holy Communion. There are saints and holy people who, after witnessing rituals like this and seeing people baptized and making their first Holy Communion, they kneel and bow down before people because they know their soul is so holy. And then we have the right to get to heaven. That's why we're here. The whole purpose of our, as we started our words, our journey is to get home. We have a home in heaven. There are many mansions, many physical places in heaven, one designed for each one of us if we are faithful. Now this night, it's probably about 12, 15 times that incense is used. There is so much incense used at this ceremony. And if you didn't know what it meant, the word incensum, that's the where it comes from, it means to be something that is burnt. And it symbolizes the smoke rising, and the fragrance symbolizes us and all our imperfections being burnt up, and with our prayers ascending up to heaven. That's why we use incense. And it's used to honor God to be physical, sacramental, showing our worship of God by use of incense. So it's like there are prayers and good works, especially during the Mass and these rituals, are ascending to heaven. And in the midst of this ceremony, we have the litany of the saints divided in half, chanted. And then, around midnight, the priest leaves the sanctuary, and everything you see here, draped in violet, except for the statues, everything is transformed. The lilies are brought out in preparation for the holiest Mass of the year, the moment Jesus rose from the dead, and then we have our midnight Mass, Eucharistic service. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, his greatest miracle, conquering the devil, conquering death, leaving Satan and his minions and his followers from the beginning of mankind to today until the end of time, leaving them all in the dust, literally. We only have one leader, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, King of the universe, who conquered all evil tonight, all death. Let's make no mistake about that. His resurrection is the proof of his divinity, because he's in the tomb from midday Friday. It's, according to the Hebrew law, it's 3 days, but from counting the first and last day, but from midday on Friday all the way till first moment of Easter Sunday. And his resurrection is proof of his divinity and his power over death. So that's why, as his honor, his name, and the honor and name of the Blessed Virgin Mary and the saints and Holy Mother the Church, the true Church, when they are attacked, maligned, blasphemed, we're on the attack to defend them by our words, by our prayers, by our prayers for our enemies. That's what the saints did. That's what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He prayed for those who crucified him, for they know not what they do. And we were telling our catechumens this morning how it's important to have a saint's name. I think most of you know that, but it's been a tradition in the church for centuries. In fact, the pastor or the priest baptizing has the authority to choose a name that's a saint's name, because it's not just a custom. Holy Mother, the Church wants the baptized person to be protected by that patron. So that's why one of the catechumens, his names, first and last, middle name, were not recorded saint's names. So he chose a saint, Saint Vincent. Great saint, Saint Vincent Ferrer. And that was decided just the last 24 hours or so. And he was found an attraction to St. Vincent Ferrer. Do you know why? Because that was his grandmother's maiden name. And so now, before God, he'll be named Vincent, who was a great saint who defended the honor of the church. And in the 14th and 15th century, and was unending, not only in his preaching, but in his miracles. So that's why it's great to have a patron saint like that, St. Vincent Ferrer. And then the other saint, she's known as St. Alice or Alison of Sharbeek, also lived in the 13th century. Her feast is June 15th, and she's the patron saint of the blind and paralyzed, because she was from Belgium, and she contracted these diseases of leprosy when she was a girl and got older. And it caused her to have blindness. But you know what she did? She offered her sufferings for the salvation of souls and for the souls in purgatory. See, that's what makes a saint. The little crosses or the huge crosses, the sufferings, as we talked about a few weeks ago, they didn't waste their sufferings. She even became paralyzed, but her greatest consolation was, as you are going to receive it momentarily, is receiving the Holy Eucharist. So we are in great company by having friends in heaven, most of them who witnessed these very ceremonies of the Easter Vigil and the Midnight Mass. So, listen carefully to this prayer that we're going to recite in Latin in just a few moments. O God, you have bestowed on the faithful the fire of your brightness through your Son, who is the cornerstone. Sanctify this new fire produced from a flint that it may be profitable to us, and grant that during this Paschal festival we may be so inflamed with heavenly desires that with pure minds we may come to the solemnity of a perpetual light. That's the blessing of the priest, of Holy Mother Church, on this fire. And it is supposed to purify us, make us have holy thoughts in our minds, pure minds, that will hopefully, with confidence, lead us to the solemnity of the perpetual light, that is heaven. So pray earnestly, don't waste any moment tonight. Follow as much as possible without distraction the prayers and the ritual. And by the end of this Mass, in this ceremony, it will be guaranteed that all of us will be one step closer to heaven with our risen Christ. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians. Brethren, if you have risen with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Mind the things that are above, not the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ your life shall appear, then you too will appear with him in glory. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 to 7. Now late in the night of the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and drawing near, rolled back the stone and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment like snow. And for fear of him, the guards were terrified and became like dead men. But the angel spoke and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who is crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, even as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord was laid. And go quickly, tell his disciples that he is risen. And behold, he goes before you into Galilee. There you shall see him. Behold, I have foretold it to you." Thus far the words of tonight's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So now, we liturgically and really have risen with Christ. Because now, all the sacrifices and penances, and hopefully all of our sins and faults, are now washed away for good. At least, that is our best intention. And if you notice, if you have meditated over this gospel especially, notice that when our Lord rose from the dead, there was no one there, but there was a great earthquake, and an angel came and announced that our Lord had risen from the dead. He had overcome death and sin, and that was a prefigure of what will happen at the end of time, because there will be great earthquakes and unbelievable occurrences in nature, and our Lord will appear at the last judgment. So this was a preview, but also it is meant to tell us and to warn us, but also console us, that our Lord overcame death and rose to glory. And then the next person who went to heaven was the Blessed Virgin Mary at her Assumption. And then all the souls of the faithful who have gone to heaven. And God willing, we also will join them, as we said earlier, to be at home with God in heaven. So on behalf of our Father Superior and the priests and the seminarians and the sisters, we all wish you a happy Easter. That all the graces and the blessings and the prayers of Holy Mother the Church and all of us will be granted to you, and they will fall upon fertile ground and open minds and hearts and souls. May God bless you.